John chapter 2 and John chapter 19 as we read here and think about a mother's love, perhaps in a little bit different way than you might anticipate. The first passage is a very familiar story. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they remained there a few days. That's early in Jesus' ministry, moving to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry in John chapter 19, verses 25b through 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Hopes, dreams, plans. Every mother has them for her children. Every teacher has them for her students. Some are realistic hopes and dreams and plans. Some are a stretch. But all mothers have them. They often begin shortly after learning that a child is on the way. Whether that child is through birthing by the mother or through adoption, or whether that child is your adoptive child and you're the adoptive second mother in the neighborhood, those hopes and dreams are there. Doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, had to say that. Teacher, preacher, dancer, singer, instrumentalist, and so many other possibilities are out there for those children. Our mothers had those hopes and dreams for us. And we children often get caught up in the lessons or the other things that mom wants for us, even though we might sometimes think of them as a pain. I started piano lessons in the seventh grade. I really didn't care for my piano teacher. And shortly into the seventh grade, actually in October, I was running at school, getting ready to do the running broad jump, and my left knee snapped, and I ended up with surgery, and ended up, back then, they didn't put you in a short cast, if you know anything about it, especially you who might have been or continue to be nurses. That cast ran from the top of my leg all the way to the ends of my toes, 4 months, and then they had that saw, and you were always afraid it was going to cut you, though it never did, and they put another cast on. But that cast suddenly gave me an excuse to give up the piano lessons that my mom wanted me to take. Though now I wish I'd done both. Even with a cast, we could have found a way to work around it. And actually, I wish I'd done both, that is, the piano and not break my leg. But those hopes and dreams are there. And sometimes we get caught up in them. Sometimes if we're guys, fathers are even worse with those hopes and dreams and getting us caught up in them. But our moms look out for us. Most of those things that they push us toward, lessons or slave driving us toward good grades or whatever, are done out of genuine love and care and concern, wanting us to do the best in our lives and to have the very best for our lives. And as a male raised in the South in the 1950s and 60s, and this does fit in with this passage of Scripture, as a male raised in the South in the 1950s and 60s, you also learn you don't argue with mama or make her cry. And sometimes that lasts long into adulthood. Well, you don't make her cry unless it's because you did something good to make her proud, or because you made her a card, a homemade card, even if it's drawn with crayons, something that she keeps in secret places. Now, in thinking about Mother's Day this year, I want us to look at a mother's love in the person of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we could go and read any number of places about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We could speak of her bewilderment and being scared when she found out that she was pregnant. Feelings that I'm sure many mothers experience early on, sometimes being scared. What kind of mother am I going to be? How is this going to work out? Sometimes bewildered. Or we could speak about her actions and feelings when Jesus was finally born in Bethlehem, and those shepherds came, and later on those magi came, and the others. But I want us to look today at the expectations and the dreams of a mother for her son. The pride that she felt, but also the disappointment that she experienced, and yet continued that love for that son, even in the heartbreak of love at the foot of the cross. In both of these times, the wedding and the cross, we see pride in who Jesus is, in the man that He has become, and also the extent to which mom will go in loving her child and wanting the best of her child. At the wedding, and most of the time we look at the miracle that Jesus performed, and we do see that, and that is tremendous, but we also many times overlook Mary in all of this. At the wedding, she approaches Jesus with bad news, but also with proud expectation. We all know that running out of wine at a wedding back then was a bad sign, especially for the bride and the groom. And this is probably a family friend, because Mary is there and she knows about it. And Jesus was invited to the wedding, so it's probably the family friends. And Mary comes up to Jesus and makes her statement, but it's not just a statement of fact, they're out of wine. It's a statement filled with expectation. She is proud of her son. And she knows that he can do something to make this situation better. And so when she says to him, they are out of wine, there is that anticipation and that expectation based on her hopes and her dreams and her intimate knowledge of her son. She expects him to do what she says. After all, she's mama. I'm sure that she was looking out for the family as well. Her love and care extended beyond just Jesus, but even to this family that's having the wedding. And the expectations for that couple. And she knew that in Jesus all of her hopes and dreams and the hopes and dreams of her people could be found. And so Mother Mary comes to Jesus and, like any mom, tells Him what she wants Him to do. And just like, have you ever had your mom say, "The trash can's full"? She didn't ask you, "Will you take out the trash?" She expected you to act. Or, "You know, your room's messy." Or, "The grass needs cutting." And that's the kind of statement. There is that expectation in mom that you will do this and you'll take the hint. And so she goes and she says that. And she also, like sometimes moms do, doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to his response. Because he says, "You know, it's not my time yet." Just goes right on by. She turns around and looks at the servants and says, "Now, what he tells you to do, you do." Why? Because she was a loving, caring mother, but one who had hopes, dreams, and expectations of that son with whom she had been intimate for all of these years. And the servants do it. And you know, we're not told anything more about Mary at this, other than afterwards Mary goes home with Jesus and Jesus goes home with Mary. But I can almost guarantee you that she stood off in the corner and smiled when he did what he did. A proud mother. Proud of her son's obedience. Proud of that relationship. And proud of what he could do. She'd raised him right. And that's what moms do. Right? Or at least that's the expectation, that they'll raise us right and that we will be raised right, even though we don't always do everything we're expected to do. She still found pride and love in all of that. And she also knows that Jesus' actions speak volumes about relationship. Unfortunately, not all of our experiences with moms have been so idyllic. But in our most trying moments, even those trying moments with our mom, the love of a mother who wants our best and who wants for us to do our best is there to give us guidance, not just in that moment, but in preparation for the other moments of life that we will face. That's true whether it is love that raises us or love that guides us to others so that we might have greater opportunities for a good and productive life. Whether it's our mom at home or that second mom in the neighborhood or at church or in the school, that teacher who guides us when sometimes our mom at home has difficulties. That love and that relationship is there and is all important. And it's also true of each of these who give their lives to care. However, life is not all about the good and happy times. This wedding turned out to be a good and happy time. But it's not all about the good and happy times. And a mother's love isn't just about the good and the happy times either. Often it is this love that sustains us in difficult and even dangerous times in our lives, even when we endanger ourselves. For such an example, we could look many places, but I want us to fast forward in Jesus' ministry and life to that last week. That last week in which Mary heard all kinds of things said about her son. She heard all kinds of harsh tones and even hatred coming from others toward this boy that she had raised to be a man. And she finds herself on the most horrible day of her entire life. I'm sure that in her mind she reflected back to happier times And there were probably thoughts of how much she wished she could change things for him, even take this upon herself for him. The day that he died. The author of the Gospel of John tells us that on that day there were many people gathered around watching. Watching the crucifixion of three men. Two legitimate criminals and one who had been proclaimed such for the crime of loving folks. A crime that only hurt himself and his friends and his family. Jesus is dying a very painful and ignoble death. Some in the crowd mocked him. Some cheered as he was suffering and dying. Some cried in anguish. And at least one cries out of love and excruciating pain. And that one is front and center as she watches her son. Looking up, looking away, looking back again and again, wishing that she could take this away from him, that she could release him from his pain. Perhaps in her anguish, she forgets all that he is, thinking of him only as her baby boy, seeing him playing as he grew up. The hopes of him establishing a throne of grace and glory for all of his people and for her, seemed to be dashed. Those hopes seemed to be gone. How did we get to this point, she thinks? Did I do something wrong? And in her love, she might have even took the blame upon herself. Suddenly, in the middle of all the chaos and anguish, her son speaks. He speaks words of love and care for her. And he speaks words which remind her of the words of Simeon in Luke 2:34 and 35. And a sword will pierce your soul also. Words spoken so many years earlier. Words that call to memory her quaking and fragile hopes and dreams for her son, even as a baby. Messiah of God. What greater dream could a mother ever even begin to imagine? And Jesus makes her proud. Even now, as he speaks to Mary and to the disciples standing with her, first of all, making provisions for her relationship, love of mother, love from mother. This mother who loved him so much, but also, I think, personally, and that and a dollar will get you a drink in the drink machine, I think his words also speak as a reminder to her that she has raised him right and done him proud. Because this is why he came, and she's been mom through it all. Behold your son. Here is your son. I came to fulfill not only the hopes and dreams you had for me, but even more of the hopes and dreams for all people. The hopes and dreams spoken by the angel. Fulfillment even beyond a mother's hope, but not beyond her love. Mary experienced the scintillating highs of a relationship with a child, the difficulties, if tradition is true that Joseph died fairly early in Jesus' life, the difficulties of being a single mother. Raising not just Jesus, but brothers and sisters. The difficulties as a single mom of raising a good son. and the anguish of the seeming death of her dreams. Yet through it all, her love and care, her desires to see the best for her child, remained at the forefront of her life and of his, and helped sustain Jesus even in his death, as that mother's love was poured out at the foot of the cross. And she didn't leave. And when he was taken down, she held him. And when he was buried, she was there. And she was also there to experience a resurrection according to the biblical text. As he was more than she had ever dreamed. And I'm sure at that point she was more proud than she could have ever been of a son whom she loves. Our moms, birth moms, adoptive moms, neighborhood moms, church moms, teacher moms, all who have loving hopes and dreams for us, shape us into who we become. Not just one, but they all do. Some have greater influences than others, but one thing is certain, that care and that love which pours out of that heart is something that we need to keep in our hearts and our minds, remembering that we can do them proud when we honestly and openly seek to be all that we can become through their loving, trying, exhorting, exhausting relationships with us. But those relationships are all because of a mother's love from beginning to end. And so we say thank you. Thank you to all of those who are our moms in so many different ways, in so many different places. But most of all, we say thank you to God for giving us you. May we pray. My gracious God, we do thank you for all of those that you bring into our lives and into whose lives you take us. Our mothers by birth, our mothers by adoption, our mothers in the neighborhood, the church, the school, who sometimes treat us with more love and care than we deserve, who have hopes and dreams for us. Help us all to fulfill some of their hopes and dreams, to make them proud, to give them thanks because of what you do for us through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn is number 462, Come Share the Lord. And as we prepare for communion, the Lord's Supper, immediately afterwards, I would invite you to stand and to sing. And our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make. A decision for Christ, a decision to become part of this fellowship, a decision of recommitment. Hymn number 462, Come Share the Lord.